Well, I'm going to bring a message, God willing, on continuing on these Old Testament pictures of Christ. And here's one that's so very obvious. So all of them are obvious. But here he says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. My soul delights in him." You know, God calls him his servant in lots of places. Look right down here in verse 10. I think it's in verse 10 here. I think it is. Now, it may not. Isaiah 43:10. Look over in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Here he calls him his servant. "You are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Beside me there is no God formed, neither shall there be any after me." In Isaiah 52, he's called the Lord's servant who shall deal prudently. In Isaiah 53, he's called Jehovah's righteous servant. "My righteous servant shall justify many." So when he talks about his servant, his elect, Christ is God's elect, and all everybody else is chosen in him. Now we know that the scriptures testify the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophets all give witness to him, all of them do. He says, "Search the scriptures, for you think," you know, "that when you search them, for they are they which testify of me." Search them, look for me. To him all the prophets give witness. And it's one of the offices of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is to speak of him. One way you can always tell if a preacher is using the Bible and talking about Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the scripture says that he shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ. And if anybody ever deals with anything besides Christ and say the Holy Spirit's doing it, the Holy Spirit always honors Christ, points to Christ, and speaks of Christ, and shows his glory, his work, and his person. And you can always tell a real preacher that way. Is he talking teaching the same thing the Holy Spirit would teach? And the Holy Spirit going to take the things of Christ. And I mean, he don't witness of himself, he don't brag on himself, he don't teach about himself. He teaches about Christ. You find these people, you know, that talks about charisma and charismatic and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, they're not under the same influence, the same Spirit that the Bible speaks of. You know, there's some of these preachers, you'd almost think, you know, listen, Here's your schedule of rules and duties to do this week. You know, but you know, when the scripture says, "They are they which testify me." And thank God we're not left to our own understanding. We're not left to assume nor presume who he is. It's not left to us. You know how many people don't know who Jesus Christ is? You know how many people do not know who he really is? As far as they're concerned, he was just an infant born and didn't have no room for him in an inn. And he's a Savior and he wants to save you, but he's not able. They don't know that he's God himself too. And they certainly don't know what he did. What he did, beloved, was come into this world that says he shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged. He is going to accomplish what he came to do. That's why God said he's my servant. That's why God said he's my elect. He come here with a task to do, and he said he shall not fail. He won't even be discouraged. Huh? Oh my, what he did. He came into this world to do something. And here's the test, here's the text, here in this text we have our Lord Jesus set forth clearly, plainly. And the question is, have you ever seen him? Do you know him? Do you know what he did? Do you know who he did it for? And I tell you what, I would love, just absolutely love, to get in a great, great big congregation. I remember years ago when Brother Henry was preaching on the, started on television, and oh, the Lord blessed the work so much. If we was going to get a whole bunch of money together and was going to put him on, at that time, the biggest TV station in America was WTBS. Turner Broadcasting. We're going to get a whole bunch of money and get him on there for about 5 days. Just get him to the whole world. Let everybody in America hear what this man had to say. Well, it didn't happen. I don't know what happened, but it didn't happen. Evidently, God wasn't in it. If it had, it would have happened. But anyway, that's what we want. We want people to hear. We want people to hear. And let me show you the chosen one. Here he says, "Behold my servant." First of all, he's a servant. Who does he serve? He serves God. And he serves us, which we'll see that in a little bit. He's chosen. He says, "I uphold him. He's mine elect. My soul delights in him." When was Christ, let me tell you this right off the bat, that Christ was God's first elect, and everybody else was chosen in him. Christ was elected to offices. Christ was elected and chosen of God for a work. Christ was elected and chosen of God to come into this world as God manifest in the flesh to do a work, first and foremost for God himself. Secondly, for us. But the first thing God's got to do is God do something for himself. And when was he chosen? Well, look over here in Proverbs 8. We've seen this many times, and I never get tired of looking at it. Proverbs 8, when was he chosen? He was chosen to be the head of an elect people. Chosen to be head of an elect people. That's why it says we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You know, you're complete in him. Everything we have is in him. He was the first. He was the first. And everything was chosen in him. Now look what it says here, I think it is in verse 23. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was his. I belong to him. He is my God, he's my Father, him and I are together. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning, or ever the earth was, set up to do something. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part, the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, I was there. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was right there. I was right there. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now let me tell you something. God, as far as God's concerned, there's only two men in this world that he deals with everybody in. Two men that he deals with the whole human race in. In Adam and in Christ. Now every one of us was born in Adam. Every one of us found in Adam. That's how we became sinners. That's why we became dead in trespasses and sin. We inherited our father's nature. But yet God also deals with people in Christ. And that's why Paul said, I want to win Christ. I want to be found in Christ. He's already found in Adam. I want to be found in Christ. And I tell you what, the whole human race, God views them all in Adam and in Christ. And so those that he viewed in Christ, they're called his elect. Because Christ is the head of an elect people. All that the Father giveth me. What did he say? They will come to me. He said, Father, I've given the word, given them thy word, manifested your name unto those that you gave me out of the world. Look over and keep Isaiah 42. Look over here in Hebrews chapter 2. You know, our Lord Jesus, God views everybody in one or the other. In one or the other. If he leaves you in Adam, you're a gone Jesse. That's all you can say about it. If he leaves you in Adam, there's no hope for you. And I tell you, this is the thing about it. Man's born a sinner, going to live a sinner, and going to die a sinner if God don't intervene. And there's a multitude in this world that God's never, ever going to intervene in their life. There's people in my family, probably he'll never intervene in their lives. There's people in your family, he may never intervene in your life, in their lives. He may never break in on them. He may never break in on you. But I know that if he don't, there's nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. Nobody can make themselves acceptable. They ain't got enough money. You ain't got enough works. You ain't got enough strength. You ain't got enough ability. You ain't got enough. You ain't certainly ain't got any faith. And I tell you, that's what I'm talking about here. Look what he said here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. Talking about us being one in Christ. Christ being the chosen. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified, the one who sanctifies them, they who are sanctified by him, are all of one. Now listen to this. For with shame he's not called him brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Who's he going to declare it to? His Father. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God hath given me. Now our Lord Jesus Christ was chosen, elect to an office. He was chosen to be our surety, to stand good for our debts, to stand good for our obligations, to stand good for all of our sins and all of our failures and all of our faults and everything that's wrong with us. He stood good for it. Now when you stand good for somebody's debt, if you was to go and stand good for somebody's debt, if they didn't pay that debt, they'd come to you. Well, we were in debt. We had a debt. Oh, what a debt it was. We couldn't pay. We couldn't even begin to pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and said, I'll pay it. I'll pay their debt. How much do they owe? More than we'll ever know. Whatever it is, I'll pay it. And that's what he was, as I assure you. He took all of our debts, of all his elect, from Abel to the last one on this earth. He took all of them and he paid every single debt to the uttermost farthing, to the justice of God, to the law of God, and to the holiness of God. And I tell you what, we do not owe nothing. Ain't nobody going to have to stand good for me at the bank, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to ask you to. But that's what it is with Christ. That, listen, I didn't ask you to stand good for my debt. I didn't even know I had a debt until the gospel come along and told me I had a debt. And then it come along and told me who paid my debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. And I owed a debt I could not pay. Though he was chosen. He was God's servant, the elect. Then he was chosen to be a sin offering. God said it made his soul an offering for sin. And then he was chosen to be our substitute. And that substitute, he took our place. I just said it a minute ago. He took our place. That's why it's called the Lamb. That's why it was called the Lamb of God. That's why he was made to be a Lamb. And a lamb, when they had it in the Passover, and any time that they had a lamb to be sacrificed, they had to put it up and observe it. Make sure no spots in it, make no blemish in it, nothing wrong with it. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as God's lamb. When Abraham went up on the mountain, he said, "Where's the lamb?" Isaac asked. He said, "My son, God will provide himself." What does that mean? That he'll provide himself as the lamb. And when they got up there, sure enough, there's somebody put in his stead. And I tell you what, here's the next thing. See, not only did he bear our sins in his own body, he was the just for the unjust, but he rendered satisfaction. That to me, the most glorious thing about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ is the satisfaction he rendered to God Almighty. To me, that's the greatest thing about the gospel. To my mind, satisfaction, the satisfaction that Christ rendered to God Almighty, to his justice that demanded the soul that sinneth die, to his holiness because he upheld it. I mean, God was holy and God required death and the penalty of death and a curse. Christ bore it. Christ's wrath, God's wrath demanded that he so be punished. Christ took the wrath of God. And God smelled him and said, I saw the travail of his soul and I'm satisfied. And bless his holy name. I can go home tonight and I can lay down my head and I could put satisfaction on my pillow and I could go down there and say, that's where I'm going to face God, because Christ satisfied God. I don't have to. I'm never, ever worried about satisfying God. And there's people wearing themselves to death. How am I going to satisfy God? I've got somebody that's already done it. How do we know? God exalted him and set him down at his own right hand. Huh? Oh my, bless his holy name. And not only was he substitution, surety, sin offering, satisfaction, and our substitute, and to whom coming, but he was obedient. That's what he said, behold my servant. Isaiah 53:12 calls him the righteous servant, Jehovah's righteous servant. Oh, he was righteous. Our Lord Jesus Christ was righteous when he was born, righteous while he lived, righteous when he was on the cross, righteous when he went to the tomb, righteous when he rose, and righteous when he sat down at the right hand of God. He was righteous when he lived, righteous in everything that he did while he was on this world. Huh? Look over here in Psalm 40 with me. Psalm 40. You know, the gospel just really, really just, it stirs me up like nothing else in this world does. It really does. Look what it said here in verse 7. Talking about Christ, Jehovah's righteous servant. That's why he told his mother, you know, his mother went out a day's journey, come back looking for him, said, son, what have you worried us so much for? He said, wish you not that I be about my father's business. Don't you know I've got to be about my father's business? Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Listen to this. I preached righteousness in the great congregation. What he said is, I preached righteousness to all mine elect. And I have not refrained my lips, O God, you know. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I told it out. I declared your faithfulness. I declared your salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. In other words, the only way we'll ever know God is in Christ. That's what he is telling us there. And you know, there are two kinds of sins. You know, if I ever told you that there's two kinds of sins? Kind of throws you for a loop, don't it? Two kinds of sins? Well, there's the sin of omission. That means the sins that means the things we should have done and could have done, we didn't. If a man knows to do good and doeth it not, you know what it says? It's sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, know to do good to somebody, know to help somebody, know to be good to somebody, something. If you know to do good and don't you don't do it, he said it's sin. That's the sin of omission. Wonder how many of we how many times we broke that one. How many times have we known to do good and we didn't do it? Huh? You say, man, that kind of don't sound so good, does it? Then there's the sin of commission. What's that? That's doing sin. That's committing sin. So going and coming, we're sinners. We're not doing what we should, and then we are doing what we shouldn't do. So we got it going and we got it coming. Ain't that right? And that's why we need God's chosen. That's why we need a righteous servant. That's why God has to have a righteous servant, someone who is righteous. And our Lord Jesus was the obedient servant. Behold my servant. He was obedient as our representative. God, like I said, he only views the human race through two people. And Christ, would Adam represent the whole human race, and Christ come to represent his race, his chosen people. He represented us. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Lord Jesus said, Father, I finished the work that you sent me to do. I think the last message I preached here before I left, it is finished or I thirst? I don't remember which one it was, but I know that it's finished. I know that he said, I finished the work. He loved his Father's will, and he loved his people unto death for them. You've heard that saying, I loved them to death. Well, he loved us to death. We say, till death do us part. Well, we would have been parted from God until Christ loved us to his death. Ain't that, and that's love, ain't it? Loved his to his death. And then, beloved, he's called the beloved one. Oh my. And whom, what did he say right there? And whom my soul delighteth? There in verse 1, whom my soul delighteth. My soul is well pleased. Oh my. He pleased God. He honored God. He satisfied God. He satisfied Jehovah. And oh my. He said, which of you convinces me of sin? And what assurance, what a strong, strong consolation for us who believe him and trust him with our souls. Now you think about that. Trust in your soul with somebody. We trust. I've said this I don't know how many times. If I had 10,000 souls, I could trust Christ with every single one of them. Yeah. Trust him with all of them. Wouldn't have a, you know, I remember years ago, we was going to do something financial here at the church. I don't remember exactly what it was. And some folks kind of got upset, got bothered, you know, about the money and started making, everybody had an opinion, you know, about what to do about it and everything like that. And finally one fellow said, now wait a minute. We trust him with our souls every time we come in here and he preaches to us that he's going to tell us the truth about our souls. He's going to tell us the truth about our relationship with God. And yet we won't trust him to make decisions about other things. He said, when he comes into a service, we say, we trust him with our souls. He's preaching to us the truth of God. He said, why can't we trust him with other things? And they all scratched their heads and said, well, I reckon that's right. that's a long time ago. That just come into my brain. I don't know why. Things was firing right then, I reckon. But oh, we accept it in the beloved. And what a strong, glorious consolation. That the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. What assurance, what a strong consolation for us who believe him. If God said, I'm well pleased with him. Oh my, to trust the one that God said, he's my servant. I'm well pleased. He's mine elect. He's my chosen. He's my obedient one. He is the one in whom I'm well pleased. If God's pleased with him, you can trust your soul with him. And then look what it says about him here. I've got to hurry. He's the anointed one. It said, I've put my spirit, there in verse 1, I've put my spirit upon him. Oh, God said he gave him the Holy Spirit without measure. When he was being baptized, the Spirit descended upon him as a dove upon him. And God the Father sealed him there to his work. I mean, identify, approved, and honored him, honored him. And then he's the one who absolutely makes all the decisions. Look what it says there. He shall bring judgment to the Gentiles. He shall show judgment. That's what he means. And what that means is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who makes the judgment. The Father hath committed everything into his hands. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who makes the judgment, who will hear and who won't. He said, Father, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, because it seemed good to you. He said, if a man says, I see, he said, he'll stay blind. Man says, I'm blind, then he'll be able to see. Christ is the one who makes the judgment. He makes the judgment as who's going to hear and who ain't going to hear. He makes the judgment who's going to be a believer and who ain't. Everything is in his hands. And I'm thankful that that's where it's at. Because I'll tell you what he'll do. He will exactly do what's right to everybody on this earth when it comes time to deal with them. You can bet on that. And I tell you what, he's the one that he shall bring forth judgment, show judgment. And if you want to know truth, it's only made known through him. He is the truth. He judges what men see, what men hear, what men learn, and all of us committed to him. And that's why they said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. I don't want him making my decisions for me. Well, I want him to make mine. I want him to be the judge. And you know, it said we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you think of a better place to stand than at the judgment seat of Christ, the one that's already done it all for you? We're going to stand before the judgment seat of the one that's already done everything. You think he's going to look at you and say, well, you really messed up and I'm going to try to compensate for you. I'll get you through some way or another. No, we'll stand before him at his judgment seat. His judgment seat. The one who has already bore judgment for us. And then look at the lowly one. Look what it says here about him in verse 2. He shall not cry nor lift up his voice. Now that's different than people in the world. And in churches, everybody's crying out about, this has got this program for you. We got the program for the old. We got the program for the young. We got programs for the divorced. We got programs for the singles. We got programs for the kids. Everybody's crying, lifting up what we got. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Mm-mm. No. He didn't do that. He didn't run around hollering and screaming and crying about his program. He just plainly told people who he was. And I tell you, beloved, he committed himself unto him that was able to keep him. So he wouldn't strive nor cry. And he never, ever, ever courted the favor of men. Never did. Look what it says down here in verse 19. Of Isaiah 42. Listen, look at this, what it says. Now what do you reckon our Lord Jesus Christ talking about here? What God's talking about? Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things but thou observest not. Open the ears but he heareth not. Now here's what he's saying is, that my son came into this world blind to everything but my will and my glory and my work. Oh my. He said, I don't need, you know what he told one time? He told him over in John 8, he said, I don't need nobody to testify me. I don't need anybody to testify me and tell me who I am and what I'm doing. The works do it. John the Baptist, I don't need him either. What he was saying was that everybody was running around saying things about him. He said, I don't have to have your approval and your praise. That's what he's talking about. But his whole purpose was to glorify his Father, no matter the way he was treated. And all he was caused to lift up his voice or to strive. And then look how sympathetic he is. Look down there in verse 3. Oh my. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. Now what this is telling us about is sometimes we will feel so weak and frail. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when it feels like the fire's going out, feels like we're so cold that we can't even feel the presence of the Lord, he'll blow on it. Flame will come back up. It's kind of like Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. When they went to the interpreter's house, he took Bunyan, Christian, behind there, and they seen this. There was a man standing there. Satan was standing there throwing buckets of water on a fire. He said, now come around here and look on the other side. While Satan was pouring water on the fire, the Lord Jesus Christ was back there throwing oil on it. Satan's trying to put it out. Christ is pouring oil on it. Huh? So that's what it was. And that's what he's talking about here, you know. Oh, he said, and a bruised reed, so bruised and broken. Oh my. Just hurting all over, you know. You just feel like, how in the world can I go on? Oh my. And then he's the shepherd of the sheep. He carries the lambs. He'll care for the weakest. He'll care for the frailest. Those who think I have no light, so frail I break. No, he is faithful. He is gentle. Now, a lot of you folks has raised some kids. When one of them's really, really sick, that's the one you pay the most attention to. And when we're really, really sick, that's the one who Christ is going to take care of. Huh? Ain't you thankful of that? Oh boy, we come in here so sick sometimes. So sin sick. Soul sick, depressed, darkness all around us, confused, hurting in our hearts. And you know what he does? Sick, I need to take care of him. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to see that they get what they need before they leave here. Huh? I'm going to see that they're made well. Oh my. And then look what it says here. In verse 4, I've got to quit. Oh my. And he shall not fail. Look in verse 4. I could go on with some other things. He bring judgment unto truth. In other words, he's going to speak the truth and reveal the truth, manifest the truth. And he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Oh my. He ain't going to fail. He ain't going to be discouraged until he set judgment in the earth. Until this thing is wound up, our Lord's going to do what he's going to do. Going to carry this thing out. Going to carry it out. He's one to be trusted. He's going to bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. That's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And it says, he shall not fail. He shall not fail. Or to be discouraged. His name is as a nail in a sure place. It bears up all that hang on it. Hang all your life on it. Your past, your present, and your future. And you can trust him with every minute of every day, every second of every hour. You can trust him every day of every month, every month of every year until he calls you home. You can trust him. You can trust him. Our Father, in the blessed name, precious name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for allowing me to speak your name, talk about you again for a little while. I know it's this flesh won't let me describe you the way you are, won't let me worship you the way you're worthy. But Lord, I want to worship, and I know everybody here does too. They want to know you. They want to love you. They look to you and trust you. Put their souls in your hands. The safest place they can be in this whole universe is in your hands. Your blood has made their souls clean. Your righteousness has made them acceptable in the sight of God. So Lord, we thank you. Bless you. Save your people in this place for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. 356, Houston. Only trust him. Ain't that what it is? Only trust him. I think that's what it is. 356. Only trust him. Let's stand together. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Nope. Well, well. How much? 352? 252. Ah, boy, I tell you what, I think I know something. All right, let's stand together and sing this. Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. In He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, which that washes white as snow. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save.